accepts an invitation to stay for holiday dinner. His nephew's wife and guests, shocked at his heartfelt bliss, can barely believe this is Scrooge. The next morning, Bob Cratchit, upon arriving noticeably late to work, is confronted by Scrooge, who exclaims, "What do you mean, coming here at this time of day? I am not going to stand for this sort of thing any longer." Before this wretched news can sink in, the incredulous Cratchit hears him say, "And therefore, I am about to raise your salary." Scrooge goes on to become the Cratchit family's benefactor. He finds a doctor for Tiny Tim, Cratchit's invalid son, and becomes like a second father to him. Scrooge lives out the rest of his days spending his time and money doing everything he can for others. Through this simple story, Charles Dickens shows us a simple formula for creating an extraordinary life. That's to live with purpose, live by priority, and live for productivity. As I reflect on this story, I believe Dickens reveals purpose as a combination of where we're going and what's important to us. He implies that our priority is what we place the greatest importance on, and our productivity comes from the actions we take. He lays out life as a series of connected choices, where our purpose sets our priority and our priority determines the productivity our actions produce. To Dickens, our purpose determines who we are. Scrooge is transparent and easy to understand. So let's revisit A Christmas Carol through the lens of Dickens' formula. At the place we enter his life, Scrooge's purpose is clearly about money. He pursues a life either working for it or being alone with it. He cares for money more than for people, and believes that money is the end by which any means are justified. Based on his purpose, his priority is straightforward: making money, as much money for himself as he can. Collecting coin is what matters to Scrooge. As a result, his productivity is always aimed at making money. When he takes a break from making it, just for fun, he counts it. Earning, netting, lending, receiving, tallying, these are the actions that fill his days, for he is greedy, selfish, and unmoved by the human condition of those around him. By Scrooge's own standards, he's highly productive in accomplishing his purpose. By anyone else's, it's simply a miserable life. This would be the end of the story were it not for the perspective provided to Ebenezer by his former partner. Jacob Marley didn't want Scrooge to reach the same dead end he had. So after the haunting, what happened to Scrooge? By Dickens' account, his purpose changed, which changed his most important priority, which changed where he focused his productivity. After Marley's intervention, Scrooge experienced the transformative power of a new purpose. So who did he become? Well, let's look. As the narrative ends, Scrooge's purpose is no longer money, but people. He now cares about people. He cares about their financial circumstances and their physical condition. He sees himself happily in relationships with others, lending a hand any way he can. He values helping people more than hoarding money, and believes money is good for the good it can do. What is his priority? Where he once saved money and used people, he now uses money to save people. His overriding priority is to make as much money as he can so he can help as many as he can. What are his actions? He is productive throughout his days, putting every penny he can toward others. The transformation is remarkable and the message unmistakable. Who we are and where we want to go determine what we do and what we accomplish. A life lived on purpose is the most powerful of all and the happiest.
Happiness on purpose.
Ask enough people what they want in life, and you'll hear happiness as the overwhelming response. Although we all have a wide variety of specific answers, happiness is what we most want. Yet it's what most of us understand the least. No matter our motivations, most of what we do in life is ultimately meant to make us happy. And yet we get it wrong. Happiness doesn't happen the way we think. To explain, I want to share an ancient tale with you.
The Begging Bowl.
Upon coming out of his palace one morning and encountering a beggar, a king asks, "What do you want?" The beggar laughingly says, "You ask as though you can fulfill my desire." Offended, the king replies, "Of course I can. What is your desire?" The beggar warns, "Think twice before you promise anything." Now the beggar was no ordinary beggar, but the king's past life master, who had promised in their former life, "I will come to try and wake you in our next life. This life you have missed, but I will come again to help you." The king, not recognizing his old friend, insisted, "I will fulfill anything you ask, for I am a very powerful king who can fulfill any desire." The beggar said, "It is a very simple desire. Can you fill this begging bowl?" "Of course," said the king, and he instructed his vizier to fill the man's begging bowl with money. The vizier did, but when the money was poured into the bowl, it disappeared. So he poured more and more, but the moment he did, it would disappear. The begging bowl remained empty. Word spread throughout the kingdom, and a huge crowd gathered. The prestige and power of the king were at stake, so he told his vizier, "If my kingdom is to be lost, I am ready to lose it, but I cannot be defeated by this beggar." He continued to empty his wealth into the bowl. Diamonds, pearls, emeralds. His treasury was becoming empty. And yet the begging bowl seemed bottomless. Everything put into it immediately disappeared. Finally, as the crowd stood in utter silence, the king dropped at the beggar's feet and admitted defeat. "You are victorious, but before you go, fulfill my curiosity. What is the secret of this begging bowl?" The beggar humbly replied, "There is no secret. It is simply made up of human desire. One of our biggest challenges is making sure our life's purpose doesn't become a beggar's bowl, a bottomless pit of desire continually searching for the next thing that will make us happy. That's a losing proposition. Acquiring money and obtaining things are pretty much all done for the pleasure we expect them to bring. On one hand, this actually works. Securing money, or something we want, can spike our happiness meter, but only for a moment. Then it goes back down. Over the ages, our greatest minds have pondered happiness, and their conclusions are much the same. Having money and things won't automatically lead to lasting happiness. How circumstances affect us depends on how we interpret them as they relate to our life. If we lack a big picture view, we can easily fall into serial success seeking. Why? Because once we get what we want, our happiness sooner or later wanes because we quickly become accustomed to what we acquire. This happens to everyone and eventually leaves us bored, seeking something new to get or do. Worse, we may not even stop or slow down to enjoy what we've got, because we automatically get up and go for something else. If we're not careful, we wind up ricocheting from achieving and acquiring to acquiring and achieving without even taking time to fully enjoy any of it. This is a good way to remain a beggar. And the day we realize this is the day our life changes forever. So how do we find enduring happiness? Happiness happens on the way to fulfillment. Dr. Martin Seligman, past president of the American Psychological Association, believes there are five factors that contribute to our happiness: positive emotion and pleasure, achievement, relationships, engagement, and meaning. Of these, he believes engagement and meaning are the most important. Becoming more engaged in what we do by finding ways to make our life more meaningful is the surest way to find lasting happiness. When our daily actions fulfill a bigger purpose, the most powerful and enduring happiness can happen. Take money, for instance. Since money represents both getting something and the potential to get more, it makes for a great example. Many people not only misunderstand how to make money, but also how it makes us happy. I've taught wealth building to everyone from seasoned entrepreneurs to high school students, and whenever I ask, "How much money do you want to earn?"